Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
If you have young teens in your house, maybe they've asked these questions, or you've been in conversations where they've come up. Is hooking up really wrong? What about living together if you fall in love? If the Bible bans sex before marriage, is everything else fair game? What about same-sex relationships? Those are real questions, great questions, but who has the answers? We're going to talk answers to those questions today. When we have more than just the talk, that is the title of a new book from Jonathan McKee, More Than Just the Talk, Becoming Your Kid's Go-To Person About Sex. It's an important conversation, and parents are always, you know, maybe a little uncertain about that. It's one of those areas where we need to have a little more confidence, and we need to have more conversations.
And remember that it's an ongoing conversation. I think as parents, it's easy to go, I did it, I'm done. Yeah, you know, the talk is done, check it off. But no, stay engaged with your kids.
We're going to get to some great conversation ahead with Jonathan McKee. I encourage you to stay tuned for that. Plus, I found an old song you haven't heard for a long time that reminds us that we need to be praying for our future, our children's future mates. And it's just a song that encouraged me when I heard it again here, and so we're going to share that with you a bit later, as well as some thoughts about priorities and purity with Dana Gresh, as we get a little highlight on that, and some thoughts about praying for our kids from Stephen Douglas. So it's going to be a good hour. Plus, it's Memory Verse Monday. Our memory verse today is from Colossians 3, 9, and 10. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. So we're going to talk about that coming up later today. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you with some important information from John Stone Street right now.
What sort of window are you looking through? For the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. Does everything seem to be falling apart, ready to head for the hills? Maybe that calls for less time on the internet. Writing at his blog, which ironically is on the internet, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Samuel James, argues that the internet alters the way we think, causing us to look at the world with more fear, hatred, or foreboding than our actual surroundings warrant. A dive into social media, he warns, will lead you to believe that the world is a terrible place to live right now. Everything from the littlest of impolite slights to the most difficult issues of human justice is magnified with unending intensity on the screen. Yet visit a city park or a library and the people there talk normally, seem relatively calm, maybe even kind. Bad news and rude comments online aren't the whole story. As Samwise Gamgee says in The Two Towers, there's some good in the world, Mr. Frodo. Sometimes we've got to look up from our screens to notice. With today's point, I'm John Stone Street.
Well, looking forward to spending some time for the next few minutes with Jonathan McKee. Jonathan is an expert on youth culture and the author of more than a dozen books, including Sex Matters, Get Your Teenager Talking, The Guy's Guide to Girls, Guys, and The Phone in Your Pocket, and More Than Just a Talk. He has 20-plus years of youth ministry experience, speaks to parents and leaders worldwide, and writes about parenting and youth culture, and provides resources at the source for the number 4parents.com. And Jonathan and his wife have three kids, live in Northern California. We're honored to have them with us today because we're going to talk about conversations that maybe aren't the easiest to have, you know, conversations about sex, more than just the talk, and sex matters. Jonathan, first of all, it's great to have you on today. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
It seems like maybe for Christians and the church, the primary sort of answer or instruction that, you know, we've given our kids was just the one word, wait. What's missing? What's missing in that instruction?
Yeah, well, probably, sadly, what's missing is the details. Kids have way more explicit questions than that because they're, you know, they've heard wait or, you know, just trust me on this one. Bible says so. But, you know, and really, a lot of them have, well, where's the Bible say that explicitly? Or you know, I've seen the Bible uses words about like fornication or sexual immorality, but what is that? Is that just intercourse? Can I do everything accept that? Or what about this? What about the pictures that are kind of tempting to look at that are so readily available now on this little device I carry with me in my pocket every day? You know, what about that kind of stuff? But those are the kind of questions that they're afraid to ask. Because number one reason why, they're afraid mom or dad will freak out. And so a lot of the kids are going with their questions. They're going to the number one place they're going to is Google for the answers, and you can imagine what they're finding there. So, yeah, so we as parents, we really need to start thinking about how can we become that go-to person that they're going to, you know, have these engage in these conversations with us. What's it take for us to not just one time, once when they're 12, sit them down and share the birds and the bees, but how can we have these ongoing conversations?
And do kids have, with justification, think that their parents will freak out if they ask questions? I mean, is that what we've sort of traditionally done in the past?
Well, you know what? Shanti Felhan, author of For Parents Only, and she's a social researcher, she actually asked kids that very question. And she had about three-quarters of kids, of young people, said they would actually, feel free to talk to mom and dad and open up. But the number one reason they don't is because mom or dad will freak out. So one thing she just really emphasized in her book over and over again was don't freak out. Don't freak out when it comes to, parenting in any area, not just talking about sex. But, yeah, so that's one thing, there's actual studies like that out there. The other thing is, like even secular studies, like in 2008, Journal of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Pediatrics, they did some research and they, asked parents about this and they asked details about who shared what with their kids. And what they did is this study was actually called Beyond the Big Talk. And what they really said is that parents need to have repeated discussions with their kids about this instead of one big talk. And what they found is that the relationship between parent and kid actually benefited much more when the discussions moved beyond, and they called it safe or impersonal subjects, because a lot of parents were covering puberty, reproduction, STDs, that kind of stuff. But kids had more explicit questions, and the more detailed parents got, the more likely kids were to go and talk with their parents about these issues. I was just talking with a nurse recently about this, and she says, man, I'm a nurse. When I come home, I talk about what I saw at work that day. She's like, gross stuff. here's what, we were taking care of today, and here's what shot of penicillin we had to do because this, this, and this. And she was talking about how much her kids and her kids' friends come to her because they feel like, okay, she knows, first of all, she's safe to talk to about this, and she knows what she's talking about. We've talked about it before, so it's not such a big shocker if they came up and said, hey, I've got a question about this embarrassing subject. So, yeah, we as parents, we need to start, research is showing, experience is showing that we need to start having these conversations. Young people want to talk. They want to engage in these discussions, and if we don't provide it, they're going to jump on YouTube and look at, and there's all kinds of cool instructional stuff on there that's YouTube appropriate, as they call it, which will tell you everything your kids, quote, need to know, but won't necessarily coincide with biblical truth, that's for sure.
Talking with Jonathan McKee, expert on youth culture and the author of more than a dozen books, including Sex Matters and More Than Just the Talk. And we're going to talk about how we have those continual conversations in just a moment as we continue here on Connecting Faith. Jonathan McKee with us today. We're talking about more than just the talk and about sex matters. Our culture creates a lot of confusion about sex, and a lot of kids have questions. Legitimately so. And who has the answers? And how do we as parents come up with the place and the time and the setting to have all those good conversations? Jonathan McKee has written about it in several of his books. We're talking about sex matters and about more than just the talk. And Jonathan, one of the things I think you refer to as continual conversation, we sort of touched on that. What does that look like? How do we push through the embarrassment and the resistance? Because there is going to be embarrassment and probably resistance, right? The kids are going to say, oh, mom, oh, dad, I don't want to talk about that. But maybe they really do.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's like they would love to be able to have these conversations. And sure, the first thing in their mind is probably not like, I want to know what dad thinks about sex. I mean, it's not their, you know, it's not definitely, you know, those of us who have, as moms and dads, had the subject, we know that sometimes our kids are like cringing and going, ooh, okay, details, you know, because they don't want to necessarily think about us in the context of sex. But what we really need to do, and the thing I talk about in the book, is what I call creating a comfortable climate of continual conversations. And that's where we prove to them over and over again that first of all, we're a safe person to talk to. And safe, by the way, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, you know, that the cool mom and dad who has no rules and lets our kids do nothing. That's not what I'm talking about at all. That we're a safe source, that when they come to us and if they're asking, hey, I have a question about this, you know, what? What are you talking about? You better not be talking about that boy, Chris. I knew I shouldn't let you hang out with him. You know, then they're thinking, whoa, well, forget it. I'm not going to talk to mom about that if she reacts like that. So the key to creating this comfortable climate is what we talked about, which is not freaking out. But there's other things we can do too. And one is, for example, not making sex naughty. Sometimes we, and it's just, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's something that happened because of the Puritan movement or what, but somehow in the church, we, for some reason, sometimes think it's taboo to talk about this subject, a subject that the Bible is not afraid to talk about in explicit detail. And it's funny because, you know, the Bible is very open about this, and parents know this. If they've ever gone through the book of Genesis, you know, so families will say, oh, family devotions, let's go through Genesis. There's a lot of blushing moments in Genesis. If you're taking your 7-year-old and your 10-year-old, you kind of, you know, you start talking about a certain subject and like, you know, and then Tamar went, and then Lot and his daughter, let's skip through, and, you know, there's a lot of things that parents might want to actually edit out of the Bible there if they're not going to have these conversations. But the Bible's having these conversations. The Bible's giving us this information, and this is great stuff for us to talk with our kids about and let them know that, one, hey, sex isn't this naughty thing. I mean, the Bible, if we open up our Bibles to Genesis, it starts with a naked guy in a garden, and God looks down at him and says, hey, you know what? You know, it's not good for you to be alone. I got an idea. Poof. Naked woman. And Adam was like, all right, cool. I mean, that's how the Bible starts. It starts, as a matter of fact, it gets better. God actually says, and go forth and multiply. Yeah. And Adam was like, yeah, I'm already on that, actually. I was there. You didn't even have to tell me that one. You know, I mean, this is how the book of Genesis begins. This is how the Bible begins. And when you go, not just the Song of Solomon, you think of like Proverbs chapter 5. It is explicit on, you know, men not being distracted by other women, but enjoying your own wife's breasts, but not being distracted by other women's breasts. I mean, it's right there in explicit detail. These are the passages that most often aren't covered in church. And I tell you, we as the church, we as moms and dads need to start having these conversations and letting them know sex isn't some naughty thing. Because young people have this desire and they're going, what is this? I feel this, but I better not talk about it because it's the naughty thing. And if we let them know, no, this isn't a naughty thing. This is God's plan. Let me tell you what God's plan looks like when you find that one person who you join with for life and enjoy the sexual relationship, how amazing it could be. But also look at the consequences that happen if we're, you know, engaging this kind of activity with everyone we meet. And we need to have these conversations.
So let's talk about you spend a lot of time talking to kids and working with kids and sure. Youth workers. And, you know, so despite a guy's best intentions and prayers, he probably can't not think about sex from the time he's about 13. So what should he do? What's your advice to the 13-year-old, the 14-year-old, and maybe moms and dads wanting to encourage our sons to have the right perspective on sex?
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, I devote a whole chapter to raising our sons and another chapter to raising our daughters. And it's interesting how much, you know, there's some similarities and there's some differences. One thing we have to realize about our boys is very visual, and this world offers a lot of eye candy. So we need to, you know, one thing we need to really do is, you know, help our kids, like when it comes to our sons and a lot of these visual things. One thing we could do is, you know, really a lot of parents are just handing their kids devices when they're 8, 10, 12 years old. And this is something talked about even in my new book about smartphones is we as parents need to stop just handing our kids devices and saying, here, you know, don't break it. You know, even American Academy of Pediatrics and Common Sense Media and other secular organizations advise us, stop giving our kids 12 and under these devices. Matter of fact, age 13 is the age that COPPA, which is basically the government, the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, allows young people to be on social media sites like Instagram or Snapchat. And we've got all kinds of parents giving their 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds devices where they get on these, where they actually have to lie about their age just to get Instagram or you know, Snapchat. So as we parents become educated about the technology that's out there and aware of what things are just a click away on these devices, I think we're going to be a little more savvy about being careful about with our middle school kids, not necessarily just hand them a device and let them have free reign, but setting up some realistic and helpful boundaries and being able to, so that way our kids just aren't inundated with this stuff, but also realizing that no matter how much protection we try to provide with our kids, they are going to see this stuff. It's out there. They're going to be at the front. You know, you could put every, you know, you could ban your kids from having phones. You could stop them from looking, you know, you could put every porn block you can on their stuff, and they could pick up their kids, their friend's phone, who has none of those porn blocks, and they can see this stuff. So we really need to have these conversations with our kids and talk with them about this. And if we're having those conversations about biblical passages like Proverbs 5 about this thing we have, this wonderful gift of sex we have to look forward to and why we don't want to look at other women. And if we're having those conversations with our kids, one, we're not letting all these images just inundate them day after day after day because we're not giving them free reign. But when they do encounter this stuff, because they will, if we're being realistic, hopefully we're equipping them to be able to make these decisions and we're giving them all the information so they can make an informed decision.
Well, you mentioned, you know, a chapter for guys and for girls. And, you know,
yeah.
We were just talking before the show that, you know, girls maybe don't like to hear it, but their clothing choices send the message. So say a word about, you know, girls and maybe some of the things that they should have a better understanding of.
Well, yeah, I'm a parent of three. My kids are 18, 20, 23, and my daughters are the two younger ones, and they're actually back from school right now. So even though my wife and I are actually empty nesters now, my 18 and 20-year-old are back here in the home. And I tell you, you know, when it comes to modesty, and this, these are conversations we have all the time. My wife was shopping with my daughters just the other day, and you can't go shopping without, you know, kind of like, wow, look how low-cut this blouse is. You know, I mean, these are conversations that happen all the time. And one thing we need to be doing is we need to be teaching our daughters about this, and we need to be having the conversations and talking about what guys are thinking and what they're saying. And you know, I actually went to a concert with my daughters last weekend, and it was a secular concert. It was a country music concert. I've gone over to the dark side, and it was funny because my daughters really wanted to go, so we said, okay, let's go. So we went with them, and my 20-year-old daughter, her boyfriend, was with us, and he and I walk into this bathroom. This is a true story. This is 3 days ago. As we walk into this bathroom, there's this rather intoxicated young man sitting there at the urinal, and he starts talking about all the honeys, all these young girls that he saw out there, and what his plans were to do with them that night. And me and my daughter's boyfriend are sitting here listening to this guy talk about it, and this other guy starts engaging with him, and they start talking both about how easy it would be to this, this, and this with these girls. I mean, this is just a – well, it's funny. When we walked out, we just were talking about it, and my daughter's like, what, what? And we immediately, oh, well, this guy said this, this, and this. Really? He was saying that? And we just started talking about this. And it was one of those things where sometimes people would hush up and say, no, don't. We just started talking about what he was saying. And my daughters have known from the time they were, you know, I mean, before middle school, I had so many conversations that said, hey, guess what? You know, here's what young men are very often thinking about. Here's what you need to be careful of. Here's what I let them understand because I didn't want them to be misled in any way because the way they dress, you know, they you know, easily, and it's I'm not, and you have to be very careful because you don't want to tell them it's your fault if you're doing. It's not that, but it's be careful how you dress because you don't want to go advertising you know, something like this, because guys are thinking, you know, if you're wearing a low cut blouse, or if you're dressing like every one of these other girls at the concerts, where the dress attire was, you know, short shorts with half your butt hanging out and cowboy boots, you know, this is what the guys are thinking about, and they were able to look around and see what the guys, you know, how the guys were responding to this the whole evening long. These are the kind of conversations we need to have with our daughters. We need to, you know, let them know that the way they dress very much affects guys, and that God values them so much based not just on outward appearance, but what matters so much is the heart. And if we're teaching our girls this biblical truth and we're teaching that, they're going to look for guys that are going to value them for who they are, not just what they look like or what they can do for them that night. And we need to have those conversations with our daughters, no matter how uncomfortable.
Well, and sadly, there's a lot of confusion about sex and a lot of conversation probably, in the culture that says, you know, what's the big deal? So we have to really provide a countercultural message that has some appeal to it, right? Because they're not getting that message any other place.
Well, and the messages they're hearing all the time is, like, for example, like cohabitation is the way to go, because you should really give a try and see if the relationship works. And that's why in my book, Sex Matters to Young People, I spend some time talking about that. I kind of flesh it out. Is this really what you want? You want to live with a guy for a year? You want to live for a year in tryout mode, where everything you do is being tested, you know, against are we compatible or not? I just heard, as a matter of fact, an amazing message from Tim Keller, wonderful preacher out of New York City. And Tim Keller was talking about this because he, in his church, has so many young people that hear this kind of stuff all the time. And he was addressing this. He was addressing the truth of what Scripture says about sex. And he says, one thing that's so amazing about God's plan for sex is this agape love, this two people saying till death do us part and joining together and enjoying the sexual relationship together, not being in this tryout of I better perform, I better be good enough, because if not, they could be gone at any moment, you know, because I didn't measure up. And self-esteem. Young people are struggling so much with self-esteem, trying to measure up. Do I get enough likes? You know, am I getting enough hits? With Instagram accounts today, people, if they don't get enough hits, if they've got 400 followers, if they don't get, research is showing right now that if they don't get 50 to 75 likes, they'll delete that picture because they only want pictures that have a lot of likes. I mean, this is the world our guys and girls are growing up in, and we need to teach them that when they find the right person and the two of them are seeking God first in a marriage and joining together and enjoying this sexual relationship together, that they don't have to worry about being in tryout mode, you know, like cohabitation teaches, that they can enjoy the benefits of agape love and two people sharing everything with each other and enjoying that relationship. What an amazing relationship it is. And if we teach our kids through these conversations with our kids what this looks like, what the Bible says about this, and what an amazing gift it is from God, it's so much more attractive than this cheap imitation that the world offers.
Jonathan McKee is an expert on youth culture and the author of more than 20 books. He's president of the SORTH for Youth Ministry. We're talking about one of his new books, More Than Just the Talk, and also a companion, Sex Matters. And we're going to continue in just a moment with more conversation here on Connecting Faith. Hey, would you like a copy of More Than Just the Talk and the companion, Sex Matters? We've got 5 copies to give away, and we'll do that with your call. We'll do a drawing at the top of the hour, so call now, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, and 5 copies of the talk and the companion Sex Matters. Love to make sure you get a copy. Give us a call, 877-93-FAITH, and we'll have more with Jonathan McKee coming up in just a moment. Talking with Jonathan McKee today, we're talking about more than just the talk, about sex matters. These are conversations that we need to have because there's many that many questions that are going on, and culture is all about maybe hooking up, living together. You know, what does the Bible have to say? Is it relevant for us today? Jonathan has been involved in youth ministry for many years, written a number of books. And Jonathan, I know in your book, you talk frankly about your past experiences too. Were there some specific questions that you wanted answers when you were a teen, and who would have been the best person to answer those questions?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I definitely, when I grew up, I had questions about pornography. And think of this. I mean, I grew up as a teenager in the 80s. So pornography for us that grew up in the 80s was that, you know, magazine that maybe was at our friend's house because his dad had a subscription to Playboy or whatever. You know, it was the maybe if they were one of the few houses that had cable television, and he would have that, you know, those nasty movies that came on at nighttime. You know, that was the temptation back then. And if you think of that compared to now, where we carry around a device in our pocket where at any moment we could type something in and boom, have explicit, absolutely, you know, hardcore porn at our fingertips. We, in the U.S., you know, right now, 91% of American homes pay for television. And so that means 91% of American homes, cable, satellite, whatever, which means usually you get your 3 months free of, you know, HBO and Skinamax and all those. And we know what those channels offer at night. Some of the most popular television programming, the number one show watched by millennials right now is Game of Thrones. And Game of Thrones, especially in the earlier seasons, went to pornographic moments. I mean, and you know, people have different definitions for what porn is, but a girl stripping down to nothing, full frontal, full side, full everything, nudity, you know, getting on top of a fully naked guy and gyrating for minute or more, call it what you want. This is the kind of stuff that is now mainstream entertainment. So I look back to when I, you know, kind of had questions of, okay, I know sex is wrong, and I know Jesus talked about lust, but I don't know, you know, where's that line? How far can I go? These are some of the questions I had, but was too scared to bring up. And as parents, we need to be able to engage in it. We need to create a climate of comfortable conversation where we're having these conversations, and we're sometimes, you know, and think about it. Most homes in America now, there's TV, you know, you can watch innocent programming, and all of a sudden there's just going to be a moment where you have an opportunity to talk about some of the stuff because something's going to happen. I mean, you could be watching kind of a semi-innocent sitcom, or you could be watching your favorite music show or whatever, and something that seems kind of innocent, but next thing you know, all of a sudden a performer is coming out and they're singing a certain song, they're singing lyrics that is about, you know, you're like, well, wait, what was that she just sang? What is it that he just, you know, and we have the opportunities to, instead of just, you know, clicking off the button going, you heard nothing, kids, to be able to say, huh, what did she just say? Is she right? You know, how's that going to turn out for her? And we as parents have the ability to use, guess what, questions, and ask questions about, you know, some of this stuff. You know, you're going to walk through the mall, and if you're a dad and you're walking with your son and you walk past a Victoria's Secret and you notice your son kind of sees those pictures, he's kind of looking over, and what a great moment to sit there and ask your son, hey, you know what, there's all kinds of pictures like that out there. That's interesting. You know what? And also maybe you can engage in a conversation. You know, if you notice your 12-year-old is kind of, you know, maybe you could talk with him about what he saw right there and say, boy, you know, God made women beautiful. Sure enough, what do you think of looking at the pictures of all these different women? What do you think God's plan for us with that? Do you think he wants us to look at all these different women? Well, what's the Bible say about that? Maybe that's a segue to open up one of those passages like that Proverbs 5, where it talks to us about specifically enjoying our wife's breasts, but not enjoying other women's breasts. So instead of making our kid feel guilty, like, don't look at that, actually saying, hey, you know what? It's kind of tempting when you see a picture like that, huh? I wonder, what are we supposed to do when we encounter something like that? We can start having these conversations, and we, as a parent, can kind of instigate some of these conversations, not in a pointed way, not in a way that makes them feel, you know, feel belittled or whatever, but we can start creating that comfortable climate where our kids might actually feel relieved because they're like, wow, I had this question, but I didn't know who to ask. And all of a sudden we're talking about this. we need to have those conversations as moms and dads.
I know in the back of the book you have a chapter on tough questions, and I think we can all probably guess what those might be. But the fact is, just as you said, maybe if we are asking the questions, it certainly takes a lot less discomfort on it, doesn't it? I mean, we can actually invite conversation and dialogue as opposed to just sort of having to come up with some sort of answers.
Yeah, absolutely. Our kids definitely have the questions. The question we might want to ask is, where are they going for the answers?
And this new resource is going to make a difference, more than just the talk. Sex Matters is the book we're referencing. Yeah. Jonathan, you have opportunity to work with a lot of youth pastors as well. I mean, anything that you'd encourage churches to do that maybe could be done differently?
Well, no, I absolutely do. A lot of churches doing a really great job. As a matter of fact, I very often will go and speak to young people about this in their churches, and it's an interesting dynamic to see. I like the churches I feel that are really doing it right are those who are creating the conversations and helping parents have these conversations. So they're not just bringing in the speaker to talk to the young people about it, but they're also equipping parents to have these conversations. As a matter of fact, this February I'm going to a church in the greater Chicago area, and a friend of mine's a youth pastor out there. I actually met him years ago when he had me to come out and speak to his church, and it was such a wonderful weekend. I spoke to their middle school kids on Friday night and gave the talk Sex Matters, and talked about God's amazing plan for sex, and what and really talks very explicitly about sharing those explicit Bible passages and what it means and the truth about sex in a world so full of explicit lies. Then it was fun because Saturday morning, while the young people were engaged in another activity, I had the parents for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And I taught the parents about what this culture is teaching, how can we start to engage young people in this. So it was neat because families walked away where the kids hadn't just heard the message, but parents heard it. And then we actually spent our last half hour with the kids and the parents together. Mm-hmm. And I actually had questions where I said, hey, mom and dad are there, or mom's there, or your auntie's there, or your grandma, whoever, because there was all kinds of different family dynamics, of course. And I said, here's what I want you to do, young people. Turn to your mom, dad, aunt, whoever's with you right now, and ask this question. Okay, moms and dads, ask this question. And it was kind of open questions. Like, moms and dads were asking, like, how can I be a better resource to you? We addressed the things about, like, freaking out. We addressed some of this right there in that half hour, them in the safe room dialoguing and sharing. Hey, what's one thing you heard, last night that you wish that your mom and dad would have heard? Parents, what's one thing you heard this morning that you wish, your son or daughter here would have, So it was neat. We just kind of helped them realize, hey, these conversations are okay. Look, you're having them. It's a safe place right now. Mom and dad's not going to freak out right there because they're in this room. We're watching them. We're going to make sure they don't, beat you in front of everybody else. So, we let them know that everything's okay and these conversations are okay. They don't need to be scared of this stuff. So it's fun to have those conversations and to help youth workers. I applaud the youth workers that are doing their best to not only talk with young people, but give parents resources to start having these conversations.
And the book is another great resource as well. It's more than just a talk, becoming your kid's go-to person about sex. And that's what we long for, is our, help raise our kids. So, Jonathan, maybe just before we wrap up, can you just summarize for someone maybe just tuned in and say, all right, what is God's plan for sex? I mean, I know what the world's plan is. Why should I choose what the Bible says?
Well, God's plan versus man's plan, we just lay it out. Matter of fact, I talk about how to do that in my book, More Than Just a Talk, how to lay out that, exactly talk about that subject. In Sex Matters, I answer it very dogmatically just straight up, just let's just say explicit in how it is. I answer, hey, what's, we hear these fancy words like promiscuity or monogamy, which is better? I mean, honestly, every TV show we watch, it seems like somebody's kind of like, if I want to have sex, I'm going to have sex. Well, is that a good plan? Does it work? Is that a better plan than waiting for one person for life? And right in the book, I literally lay out, what does research show? What is secular research like? And I quote things like Journal of Psychology and different studies and different books about this, where they've literally asked men and women, how satisfied are you in your current relationship to people who've been basically from relationship to relationship to relationship, having sex with whoever they want, looking back and going, was this a good plan? And ask the Dr. Phil question, how's that working out for you? And finding out, and it's amazing seeing research where higher rates of depression for women who've actually done that, men less satisfied with their current sexual relationship when they've gone from woman to woman to woman. As a matter of fact, the more promiscuous the person, the less sexually satisfied they are. And fascinating porn research as well, same thing. Men who literally are not able to perform sexually because they're so addicted to pornography. Time magazine just a few months ago had a cover article about that, about how people are having to be weaned off porn because they aren't even able to perform in their regular relationships. So, yeah, those are the things we cover in the book. We talk about how amazing God's plan is, the age-old plan of one man, one woman, spending a life together and enjoying this amazing gift of sex together. The people who are having that kind of relationship are showing incredible, like way more sexual satisfaction than those who are in these promiscuous relationships. And this is the kind of research we're showing in these books, Sex Matters and More Than Just a Talk.
Talking today with Jonathan McKee about those two great resources. And Jonathan's written some 20 books, and we've got contacts on our website. You can find out more information. Jonathan, I know you also have The Source for Youth Ministry, and there's thesourceforparents.com. That's the number 4, thesourceforparents.com. That'd probably be a good place to start if people have some more questions.
Absolutely. They can jump on there. They can read our articles. They can grab our books. And, of course, if you go to Amazon.com or if you're in Canada, Amazon.ca, you can find all my books there, including Sex Matters and More Than Just a Talk.
Well, I want to encourage you. We've got some copies of Sex Matters and More Than Just a Talk. In fact, 5 copies of both. And we'd love to get a copy of those into your hands. It'd be a great resource for you. And maybe you can read it and pass it on to your church youth pastor. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. 877-933-2484. Just give us a call. In contact information, we'll do a drawing for those copies here at the end of the hour. And coming up in a moment, a song that reminds us that, you know, these are important matters and that our kids are getting a lot of misinformation. So there's a place for us to pray for our kids. We'll talk about that in a great song coming up in about a minute. Now, we live in a sex-saturated culture, and our kids are exposed to a lot of things that aren't good for them or any of us. We need to pray for our children and the parents, grandparents, praying for your grandkids as well. This song just reminded me of the importance of helping our kids get a proper understanding.
Somewhere in the world today, a little girl will go out to play, all dressed up in mama's clothes, at least for the way that I suppose it goes. Somewhere in the world tonight, before she reaches to turn out the light, she'll be praying from a tender heart, a simple prayer that's a work of art. And I don't even know her name, but I'm praying for her just the same, that the Lord will write His name upon her heart. 'Cause somewhere in the course of this life, a little boy will need a godly wife. So hold on to Jesus, baby, wherever you are. Somewhere in the world out there, that little girl's learning how to care. She's picking up her mama's charms, or maybe swinging around in her daddy's arms. Somewhere in the world to be, is, be it tender love, grounded in eternal love above. And I don't even know her name, but I'm praying for her just the same, that the Lord will write his name upon her heart. Cause somewhere in the course of this life, my little boy will need a godly wife. Well, so hold on.
Nice old tune from Wayne Watson. It's called Somewhere in the World. And I hope that maybe challenges you as it does me to, at least for my grandchildren, kind of be praying for their future mates. You know, that's never the wrong time to spend time in prayer when it comes to our kids. In fact, Steve Douglas has a word about that right now.
I think prayer is vital, and I think it's certainly something that we're called to do for our children and with our children.
Prayer. For parents, it should be a top priority. Hi, I'm Steve Douglas for Making Your Life Count. David Thomas explains more.
I love to challenge parents to think about living a life of prayer so that it's not just about I pray over you before you go to bed at night, which is a great and wonderful thing to do, but to pray over your children as you're driving to school, and to let prayer become a conversation that kids see. I think when kids think of, when we talk with kids about having a relationship with Christ, I love the idea of conversing with him like we have a relationship, that I don't just do that two times a day, but we're in this active conversation.
Remember, you need to set a positive example for your kids regarding prayer. I'm Steve Douglas.
Positive example for our kids regarding prayer, and of course, life of purity as well, and hopefully that you've been able to share that with your family. We always love to hear in this segment of the show to kind of do a little takeaway. What's the takeaway today? Carissa, we'll start with you.
I think the takeaway would be to just look for opportunities to ask questions to our kids. And I'm not a parent yet, but I just actually have an example over the weekend. My dad and stepmom were talking about a tragedy that happened in Turkey at a wedding. And my little niece, she's 11 years old, and she just asked, why do people kill other people? And it was just an opportunity right there to just speak truth and life to her and just try to encourage her about what the Bible might say about that. And so we can definitely use that to look for opportunities in all areas of life.
Looking for opportunities.
Yeah. I like what he did with separating the adults out from the kids and then having them come back together with the questions. That can really break down that barrier of awkwardness. And so maybe that's something you can do at your church, you know, if you want to get a little assistance with this conversation. Talk to your youth director.
Talking sex matters and how to have more than just a talk from Jonathan McKee. Some good insight today. We have a little other perspective as well, as we love to do. Not too long ago, we had a chance to talk with Dana Gresh. She's a noted author and speaker, and she has written and talked a lot about helping sons, daughters and sons through the changes in sexual standards, today's culture. And this is in a conversation we're talking about lies young women believe and the truth that sets them free. Listen to Dana Gresh. It does seem like the culture is much more sort of hookup and experimentation and sex, but almost sex, that this is, it almost feels like this is the common behavior. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Very accurate. I believe today, I did not coin this phrase, but I've seen a blog where an author said that today Christians are sexual atheists, and I think that's very true, that we may come to church, we may come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we may say all the good things, even do all the good charitable work, but when it comes to our sexual lives, we are going to be God. We are going to determine who we have sex with and when. And God doesn't really have anything to say about that, whether you're 12 years old or 20 years old or 50 years old, no matter what kind of sexual temptation you struggle with, we're making our own decisions. And the thing is, what I see happening is that we're having a conversation in the Christian culture where we are arguing over what God's word says in black and white about marriage being between a man and a woman and sex being a gift for within the marriage relationship. Those two big things. And it's one of the reasons why I did a TED talk on tolerance for virginity, because the culture is saying that that's the one sexual choice you shouldn't tolerate, the one. Anything that would be mandated by God or directed by God in scriptures is not tolerated in our society. And therefore, the church turns around and tries to make sense of how they can live like the world. And what that leads to is a lot of brokenness. And I've known that in my own life because I have made my own way as a teenager in the area of sexuality. But I speak out of a heart that's been healed by grace. And those who know God's grace in the area of sexual brokenness are the ones, I think, who love the rules the most. That's why if you look at the modesty and purity movement of the evangelical world, we're kind of motley crew. We are not poster children for sexual purity. We are hearts that have been healed up by God's grace. So if you're listening today and you've never told anyone about the things you're struggling with, erotica, pornography, same-sex attraction, hooking up with for friends with benefits, anything, rush to a safe woman in your church if you're a woman, or rush to a safe man in your church if you're a man, and confess your sin one to another, because then there will be healing in your heart.
Dana Gresh speaking so powerfully. You can hear that full conversation that we have with Dana back, well, it was last year. You'll find it if you do a search on the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. The Lives Young Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free was the book that she referenced and has written on that. You know, whatever, whenever this conversation comes up, it's important that honesty be at the heart of it. That's important in every aspect of life, and that's our memory verse for Monday. We do a memory verse Monday each week. And today, Colossians 3, 9, and 10 is the verse. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Colossians 3, 9, and 10. We've got Andy Stanley to offer just a short word about that right now.
Honesty. You have a problem being honest? Here's the reason you need to be honest. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Do you know what the truth is? You know, the reason we lie is because we think we'll look better. You know why we lie? We lie because we think we're progressing. We think a lie will get us somewhere we need to be. God says, no, 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 no. When you lie, you work against what God's doing in you, because I'm trying to renew you. So don't lie, because lying works against what God's doing in you. Oh, I never thought about it that way. That's the significance. That's the power of truth.
Andy Stanley from a message called Punch List, where he just went through a number of verses, and so we're using them as our memory verse for each Monday. Colossians 3, 9, and 10, about honesty. Again, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And I hope you can hang on to that verse today and remember it. Thanks so much for tuning in today to Connecting Faith. Maybe you heard just a portion of the conversation with Jonathan McKee and you'd like to listen to it again. We post our interviews on our show page after each broadcast, and so you can check it out there again. And you can pass it to a friend, because all our shows are shareable. All that information is available online at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com.
Another opportunity at our website, too. We're giving away one Bible every week. There's a new winner every week. It's a free opportunity to get Dennis and Barbara Rainey's Family Life Marriage Bible giving away.
It would be helpful, as we've been talking about issues of marriage and family today. I would love to make sure that you sign up and get a copy of that. It'll give one away each week. So check it out. Sign up to the Family Life Marriage Bible giveaway at myfaithradio.com. It's myfaithradio.com. Speaking of families, tomorrow we're talking safe families for children. You know, thousands of kids are falling through the cracks between Child Protective Services and the foster care system. And in the middle of these needs is a growing ministry called Safe Families for Children. They provide support for children and their parents in times of crisis and chaos, of which seems like we're having more of that all the time. We're going to hear from David Anderson. Welcome him back to the broadcast. He's the founder of Safe Families for Children. It's a wonderful program And we'd love to have you join in with us today. Maybe find out how you can get plugged in your neighborhood. There's needs all over the country. So listen in tomorrow. We'll talk Safe Families for Children on Connecting Faith here on Faith Radio.